And I'm glad you're here today for our third week of our relationship series. The last couple of weeks, we have been working and just processing through relationships and trying to figure them out. We certainly realize and understand that relationships are challenging, very, very challenging. And we're talking about all kinds of relationships. This is not marriage specific. Relationships in our lives. And for some people, relationships are so challenging that they just give up. And they choose to live lonely. They isolate themselves and they just cut themselves off from feeling those feelings of care or concern or love toward other people. They just want to live lonely. But we know that is not God's plan. His plan includes people. But not all people, thankfully. I mean, we want the best for everyone. We love everyone. We had a big help moment to begin this series. And I know it has been a strength to you. And that is this. We are not meant to do life alone. But we're also not meant to do life with everyone. I don't want to live life alone, but I also am not feeling everyone in my life. And I think sometimes we feel stressed. We feel stressed to stay connected to people. Maybe we graduated with them, and so we are connected forever. No, the only connection is that you graduated with them. Well, we live next door to one another, and so we always have to live next door to one another. No, you don't have to. You can move. You can go other places. You can meet other people. And at the same time, and on the other side of that coin, because of the challenges that we've suffered in our relationships or because of people issues in our lives, then we think that we should just live life lonely because I've been hurt or because I met a toxic Todd or because, you know, I just went through this in that relationship. I give up, and that is not God's will. It's not good for man to be alone. And I understand the context of that verse. I understand what's being said about Adam and what's being said about Eve, but he's talking to mankind. We've used this that, you know, a man is not supposed to be alone and needs a wife. When he finds a wife, he finds a good thing, and all of that is true, but it's not good for mankind to be alone. But we need discernment to figure out who our people are. Can I just say I'm glad y'all are my people? I'm glad y'all are my people, and I get to do life with you, and I get to see you every week and just stretch faith with you and see God do great things in my life. Someone said to me before this service how much they appreciated this statement that we have made the last couple of weeks, that everyone who is good to you is not good for you. And you got to figure that out. You have to determine that. I cannot decide that for you. You have to have discernment in your life to know, who do I need to be walking with? Who is going to help me reach my purpose? Who is going to help me be my best self? Who's going to enhance my life and add to my life to make sure that I reach my fullest potential? Because there are always people coming in and out of our lives. We need to know who they are. We need to know who they are. And so we've taught the last couple of weeks that there are four kinds of people who have come and are coming into your life. Four kinds. This is the series right here. You have subtractors. Talking about that week one. You can catch up on YouTube if you want to hear about subtractors. We talked last Sunday about adders. This is the arithmetic of relationships. Math is hard. Subtractors, adders. Then there are dividers and there are multipliers. Today we are going to talk about dividers. Dividers. Dividers separate us from the right people. It's what dividers do. We do not want dividers in our lives. And I'm going to move fast today because I have a lot of ground that I want to cover. I know relationship teaching is not always exciting, and maybe you're going to find yourself taking notes and writing things down, but I know this is going to help you, and it's going to strengthen your life and your relationships, because if you have dividers in your life, then this may be an aha moment. It may be a light bulb Sunday that you realize, wait a minute, I have people in my life that are separating me from the right people. As long as I'm connected to a divider is going to keep me from connecting to right people. I wonder, have you ever had that friend or maybe that acquaintance who dominated your time? Maybe they monopolized you or tried to. I've had one of those in my life. If we were going to dinner, they didn't want anybody else to go to dinner. It could just be me and that other person. I get it. That's all right now and then. But, you know, I like the party. I want a few people at this table. But it becomes this manipulative thing. It becomes this monopolizing thing. They want to dominate all of your time. That is a divider. That is someone who is keeping you from right people. And a divider, they will do this out of their own insecurity. They will do this many times out of their own jealousy. They may or may not be aware that they are doing it. I believe you ought to make them aware that they are doing that. You it's the real test of friendship when you have a challenging moment, when you have one of those tense conversations. I don't know that you really have a friendship if you never disagree. I meet couples, married couple. Oh, we never argue. Well, are you sure you're married? We never fuss. Kristen and I, we had just got married. You know, we were trying to figure out how to live together. We were fussing about something, and she said, my parents, they never fuss. They never argue. And, you know, it was brought great shame to me. And then my in-laws are down to visit, and Kristen, you know, I'm only talking this bold because she's up in church kids today. I would never be saying any of this if she was on the front row, but my in-laws came to visit, and so I'm riding in the car with my father-in-law, and I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. You know, I said, man, you and Mumsy, you have such a loving relationship. It's so beautiful, and even after all these years, you're so cute together, all of that. I said, I mean, you know, Kristen says y'all never fuss. Will you just tell me the truth? Do y'all ever disagree with one another? And it was like I shot him with a gun. He jumped up out of that passenger seat in my car and he said, that woman drives me crazy. Lord, I'm telling you, the vindication I felt in that moment, the relief I felt in that moment, oh, it was awesome. Dividers will do this, and they may or may not realize it. You got to have these conversations. You have to make people aware. You say, but wait a minute, I don't want to offend them. Well, which would you rather have, the temporary awkwardness of conflict or the possibility that a divider is going to separate you from the next right person in your life? But let's talk about division, because we can talk about people, and I get it. I don't want to make this personality specific. I'm really not intending for you to write someone's name at the top of your note page today. I want you to understand something. The devil is a divider. The devil is a divider. He is the steal, kill, and destroy guy. And there's many layers to the idea and even the spirit of division. And you need to know also that some of those things, some things that happen to you, not those things, because the devil is a divider, but there are some things that happen to us that are just harmless. Some things should be chalked up to the maturing process of life. What do you mean? I mean, if you're planning to go to lunch with your friend today and y'all cannot decide where you want to eat. Well, I want to go to Longhorn. Well, I want to go to Zaxby's. Well, I want to do this. That doesn't mean you have to say, well, you know what? Let's just get this straight. You're a divider. Get out of my life. That's not what I'm talking about. Because some things are just normal. Some things are just normal. There is a chemistry and compatibility component that will factor into every relationship. Sometimes you meet someone and it's like, you know what, we just don't vibe. I don't know what it is. I was in Indiana a couple of days this week at a special event I was taking part in, and you know, a number of people at this event. I'm in groups the entire time. There's someone in the group. I've known them for years. We're not intimate friends. We're not strongly connected, and I'm not really thinking about that. It's just when I'm in this group, I mean, I don't know any dirt on them. There's no shade. As far as I know, they don't steal chickens. They don't, you know, they're a good person. They're a moral person. I don't know what it is. We just don't connect. And I have to realize that doesn't make them a bad person or me. It's just a compatibility issue. It's just a chemistry thing. We just don't vibe. I can bless them. I can see them along the way. And hey, you're doing good. Great to see you. And it's not fake. It's sincere. But it's all right that we're not on the phone together every other day. I'm not called to do life alone, no way. But I'm also not doing life with everyone. And so in some relationships, there just is not enough in common, or there are too many differences, and you say it's all right. It's okay. This is normal. On the other hand, though, the devil has done a masterful job of creating division among us. You choosing Longhorn and them choosing Zaxby's is not devil division. That's just life. That's just preference. That's just what you're in the mood for and what they're in the mood for. And you learn to compromise and say, all right, we're not doing either one. We'll go to Chick-fil-A. Shoot, they're closed. You figure it out. That's life. But the devil is doing a wonderful job of creating division among us. And in my lifetime, I don't know of a time that we've been more divided than we are right now. And let me qualify that with this. I'm 50 years old. I know there is a lot of history in this room. There are people much older than I in this room, and you have lived through some very challenging days in this nation. I just personally do not know of a time more divided or more divisive than right now. Jesus said it this way in John 17, I pray that they will all be one. Everyone say one. Just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I pray that they will all be one. Don't you know that if this is the prayer that Jesus prayed for you and I, that's exactly what the enemy is going to fight the hardest? If Jesus wants you and I to be one, not only with one another, but with him, with the Father, then the enemy is going to come in and do his very best to thwart that and to cheat that and to divide us and to bring constant anger and offense and confusion among us. That's what the enemy is going to fight. And I try to use that understanding as my filter. And in my notes, literally, I have the word try all tricked out. It's underlined, bolded, in quotations. Because I'm still working through this and fighting through this and trying to figure this out. I don't always get this right. What do you mean by filter? Pastor Darrell, well, when there is conflict, my first thought is not, this is political. When there is conflict, my first thought is not, this is racial. When there are challenges, my first thought is not, fill in the blank. But rather, this is spiritual. Because the devil is a divider. Anybody being helped today? Because, see, the spirit of division gets into the mind and the heart of people, and then people become dividers. The Bible says that we are known by our fruit. When you are in Christ, when you are filled with the Spirit, you are known by the fruit of the Spirit. Well, guess what? The devil has a fruit stand as well. And when your life is being influenced by the enemy, it's going to bear out fruit. And often that fruit is division. Because so much of what is happening in our nation and in our world is the spirit of the Antichrist. Paul said it's already working. It's already working. It is a spirit that is opposite of Jesus. Unless you've been hiding under a rock, there is an incredible revival happening in our nation among young people. It didn't take long, though, for people to start rising up in opposition to that. It didn't take long for the church to start arguing over that. And now there is a full-on fight about whether or not that revival is real, whether it is true, whether it is right. Lord, have mercy. Pastor Brian, this is not your favorite part of the service. I know that earlier part was your favorite part, but help me with this. Because I was sitting at lunch all by myself the other day. This is dangerous. But I had a thought come into my mind. Let me just say that because I don't know 100% if this was the Lord. And I've just sat in this and I've not spoken this. I've not tweeted this. I've not posted this on social media. But this thought dropped into my mind that the question, what is woman and what is revival, comes from the same spirit. You're going to sit in it too for just a few days. You say, what do you mean? We're fighting in America over what is a woman, ladies and gentlemen. It's an argumentative, questioning, offended spirit. They know good and well what a woman is. They just want to fight you over the question. What is a revival? We just want to fight you over the question. Because the root of it is a spirit of division that says we can't get along, we can't be connected, we can't do life with one another. We just have to fuss and fight with one another. And if you say it's this color, I'm going to say it's that color. And if you say it's one way, then I'm required to say it's the other way, because there's no way we can walk together. Jesus said, I'm praying that they be one, because we need some oneness. Need some oneness, because there is division among us. Can I just side note for just a moment and say that every single Sunday, this church defies the odds and breaks the stereotype of the church in America. Every single Sunday. Because we refuse to be divided. We refuse to be separated or segregated. And let me give the disclaimer. Because just as we said about subtractors, dividers are not necessarily bad people. They may not even realize what they're doing. Majority do not realize what they are doing. Yes, I have met cruel and manipulative and strong-willed people who were just intent on wrecking havoc in people's lives. Yes, I've met them, but by and large, that is not someone's reality. Oftentimes, someone is mimicking behavior that they learned from other relationships. They are stuck in a dysfunction cycle. You've heard that hurt people hurt people. Well, guess what? Divided people divide people. And so we have to leave room for those who are just sincerely wrong. They don't know better. They don't realize what they're doing. They may have a good heart, but Jesus needs to bless it. Because in the South, when we want to cuss you out, we just bless your heart. Bless your heart. Because I really, really, really believe that people do not wake up each day wanting to be miserable. I really believe that people wake up each day not wanting to ruin their life or yours. I really believe that. That's the filter. This is not political. This is not racial. This is spiritual. And I realize there are those disagreements and there are those challenges. I could name you more than one family, great people that I love, who left this church because I would not get on this stage and say that the election was stolen. True story. True stories. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? They're starting to put their name in the hat for another presidential election. And guess what? the media is going to keep ginning this thing up and churning this mess until we're in the parking lot just swinging at one another. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse. There's going to be differences. There's going to be differences of opinion. There's going to be differences of thought and ideology. And I realize one side said, but how can they think that way? And the other side is saying, but how can you think that way? Maybe if we would answer that question we're asking of one another, instead of just hurling it at them as a weapon, you might find out why they think that way. And God forbid, you may learn something. Ooh, Lord, I'm off in it today. I'm not saying you have to change your mind. But man, the conversation is going to forge a depth in your relationship. And then instead of fighting one another, we're going to join forces and we're going to fight the devil who is the divider. God, have mercy. Is the word helping anybody? So before the media gets you stirred up, before anybody, we had a beautiful panel last year honoring Black History Month and all of that. You can go find it on YouTube, but we had a panel of 5-6 different ones, and I said this on that panel as almost an after statement, but I'll say it again. I call it the prison principle. Used to do a lot of prison ministry, and I've been in some of the roughest and most dangerous prisons in America, and it's astounding to me. But when I talk about the prison principle, That principle is this, that there is so much racial divide in prisons. The whites or the Aryan Brotherhood, they over there, and the blacks are over there, and the Latinos are over there. Everybody is separated. And you know who keeps that stirred up? That would be the guards. The guards are the ones that fuel that. You know why? Because there's only about 200 of them and 5,000 prisoners. As long as they keep the prisoners focused on hating one another, keep them fighting with one another, then the guards are an afterthought. But if the 5,000 ever got focused on the guards, whoo, them little batons, wouldn't last no time. So the devil keeps us divided on any number of issues to keep us from getting singularly focused on the task at hand. Use it as a filter. Think about it. When you're watching them, just think about it. Think about it. It's fascinating. Well, what about people who are just determined to divide? Let me read this story. I'm not going to preach this story, but I'm going to read this story. This is in your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 3. It's fascinating to me, beginning at verse 16. Two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "Pardon me, my lord. This woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one else in the house but the two of us." In other words, I understand this is my word against hers. Verse 19, "During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him." I don't think it was intentional. She suffocated him accidentally. "She got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, did y'all know this was in the Bible? The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't my son I had born. The other woman said, no, the living one is my son, the dead one is yours. But the first one insisted, no, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine. And they argued before Judge Judy. That woman is mean. The king said, this one says, my son is alive and your son is dead, while that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. Then the king said, bring me a sword. And he gives the order, cut the living child in two. We're talking about division. Give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. But the other said, listen to the spirit of division. Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. Then the king gave his ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother. That other lady was determined to divide because she wasn't the mother. Again, it came from jealousy. It came from bitterness. It came from lament. It came from dissatisfaction with her own circumstances. But because she had not birthed the baby, she was willing to divide the baby. I'm just going to tell you something on this Sunday morning, and I need just another moment. I am protective of the thing that I have given birth to in my life. I am protective over what matters to me. Whether it's my peace, my prosperity, my commitment to diversity, remember we first moved here. I'm telling it all today. Someone said to my daughter, she's 19 today, she was in the eighth grade then, El, you want to hear a racial joke? My daughter, young, she, you know, she understands it's yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir. She understands the rules. We haven't raised her to be accepting of any of that. And so she said quietly, not wanting to be disrespectful, not wanting to be unkind, hey, did you hear me? You want to hear a racial joke? She said, I would like to be taken to my mother. Just if you would, just take me to my mom. Oh, come on, it's funny. No, I'm protective of the thing that I've given birth to. Because it's not just a joke, it's hurtful to someone. It's divisive to someone, to us all. So you got to fight for this. Pastor, what are you doing today? What are you doing? I'm trying to help you understand today that dividers, they separate you from right people. We've determined that in 2023, God is going to do a big thing, not only in this house, but in each of our lives. And part of that process is realizing, wait a minute, I got to figure out who all is on my bus. I may need to pull over and allow a couple of people to get off of this bus, because where I'm going, that attitude is not welcome. Where I'm going, that is not good. I am on my way to see God do something big in my life. And Paul, let me close. Paul describes the body of Christ. He describes the baby, if you will. He describes the church as a whole to an individual body. You. Just pinch yourself. Just reach down. Get some of that thin skin right there. Just pinch. Just pinch. You feel that? That's the body. That body cannot be divided and live. It's not possible for part of me to go to lunch in Conyers today and part of me to go home and take a nap. And that happened at the same time. Those two things can happen today, but it can't happen at the same time. Because the body cannot be divided. So he teaches 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one part suffers, talking about the body, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I had surgery a few weeks ago. It turned out to be my gallbladder. He said it's normally the size of a pepper. My big old body, something the size of a pepper, affected everything else. Just a small part. I bet I could come get a hold of your pinky or just find your little piggy and step on it. And it would affect the rest of your body. If one part suffers, what is Paul telling us? He's saying if we work together, we're unstoppable. If we're divided, then we're weak and ineffective. I want to work together. Because as we live right now, life, February 26, 2023, 11:29 on Sunday morning. As we live right now, division is easy and unity is hard because everything is set up in the world for you and I to be divided, for you and I to see color before we see heart. For you and I to judge before we give people a chance. Everything is set up. And yet Romans 12 and 15 said, you want to have strong relationships in your life? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. When your friend has a win in their life, even if you're not winning, don't be jealous of them. Rejoice with them. Mourn with them, because that's how you do relationship. That's how you make sure there is no division. You celebrate and you struggle with people whom you love. And Paul said, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. You'd have to study the church at Corinth. It was a mess. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So much of Paul's writing, he's trying to help these people that have gotten so far off track. There was so much racial division among them, Jew and Gentile and all of the factions and things, and Paul is finally pleading with them. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus, I'm begging you that you would just agree with one another in what you say, and that there will be no divisions among you, but that you would be perfectly united, mind and thought. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be things we disagree on. There are. We're individual, unique people, all of us with unique personality. I don't want to go to church with people that think just like me. Everybody just in lockstep. There needs to be some texture. It keeps things interesting. It's a whole lot more fun. But he said on the things that we need to be united on, let's be united on that. Let's work together and be unstoppable rather than divided, weak, and ineffective. Do you have two more minutes? Let me finish this, because I think we can agree. I think we can agree on this. For all the texture, for all the uniqueness, for all the diversity, for the many differences, I think we all can agree that we have one enemy. We've got one enemy. Ephesians 6 and 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That means other people. It's not that the issue is not other people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The church down the street is not the enemy. They may use a different Bible version. They may have a different style of worship. It's all right. The person who votes differently than you, it's not your enemy. The person with different skin color, comes from a different background, listens to different music, dresses differently, they're not your enemy. We have one enemy, and that enemy is the devil who divides. So we can agree we have one enemy. Here's what else we can agree on. We have one mission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. If we get focused on one mission, then we have no time for division, because our one mission is to help people know the life-giving love and grace of Jesus. Instead, the church is known for what it's against. I want to be known in this community for grace. I want to be known for our generosity. I want to be known for our commitment to justice. I want to be known for our compassion. Jesus said, this is a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Has anybody ever been loved by the Lord? He said, that's the way I'm asking you to love other people. It's a tall order. It's challenging. Don't divide the baby. Maybe time to tell someone who's always negative, you know what? I love you, but I just can't do this anymore. It may be time to cut the call short. It may be time to just be too busy for lunch, because some things are just too important. Father, I pray that we could be one. I pray that somehow we could fulfill, that we could respond to, that we could abide in that prayer that you prayed for us. Not just one with you. That, yes, that's so important. But you wanted us one with one another. I pray, Lord, as we continue to build a church for your name and for your glory in this community, we would defy the odds of any stereotype, anything typical, anything expected. Sunday is not segregated at the Church Covington. We love people. I'm loved by people. Lord, let us be one with one another and one in you, so that we can fight our one enemy, the devil, and that we could fulfill our one mission to love people and to help them know what we know, feel what we feel, experience what we have experienced. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Want to be baptized today, we're getting ready. Today is your day. If you're ready to take that next step, we'd love to baptize you. You can just find our team. There are some outside, but our ushers will happily lead you right there. If today is your day.